How do you do? One English poet speaks of an aching void the world can never fill. We're about to meet a couple who understood perfectly what William Cowper was saying. Then they discovered the void could be filled when their hearts and lives and minds were unshackled. From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission brings you Unshackled, true stories of real people. There were homeless people in Chicago in 1877 when Pacific Garden Mission opened its doors to help them. There are still homeless ones more than a century later, and the doors are still open. Help includes clothing, lodging, food, and medical and dental care, all given without charge. Counselors address spiritual needs as well as material ones, and lives are changed. Changed lives are the subject of these programs, broadcast worldwide and produced since 1950. And now another true story on Unshackled. Actually, we have two stories. The first of a young man who tried to satisfy his deep inner longings with alcohol, drugs, physical activity, and education. In the second, we'll meet a young woman who thought social action was the answer. Find out what finally brought peace into each of their lives as we bring you the true stories of Joyce and Elliot Clayman, now on Unshackled.
I was born to middle-class modern Orthodox parents in Cincinnati. My grandparents were observant Jews, zealous for the Mosaic laws, keeping kosher, observing the Sabbath and the high holidays. My parents weren't quite as observant of strict tradition, but they still wanted me to go to Hebrew school and to have a bar mitzvah. That's the ceremony which marks the passage from childhood to manhood. Traditionally, it represents the assumption of spiritual responsibility. The Saturday after my 13th birthday, I took my place in the pulpit, where I conducted much of the morning worship in Hebrew.
Baruch Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Notan Lanu Torat Emet, Vechaye Olam Notav Et Ocheinu, Baruch Adonai, Notein HaTorah, Amen.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the law of truth and has planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed art thou, O Lord, giver of the Torah. After the services, there was a reception with family and friends to celebrate my reaching manhood. For about 2 years, I attended synagogue. Mostly, I went to partake in the minion breakfast of lox, bagels, and cream cheese. By the time I was 15, though, a good breakfast was not enough incentive. I stopped going to regular services, although I did occasionally go with my parents to Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur services. I found that there were a lot of other things in life to focus in on.
Hey, Elliot, how'd the competition go yesterday?
Pretty good. I took a second.
Not bad for a guy who used to be a 98-pound weakling. You're turning out to be a regular Charles Atlas.
I ought to be, considering how much time I put into it.
Yeah, it must be awfully boring.
A little sometimes, but the results are sure worth it.
Oh, you mean all the medals and trophies are winning.
Oh, yeah, that sure, but what I really mean is girls. Chicks really dig weightlifters.
Oh, yeah. Hey, speaking of chicks, how'd you make out last night?
Just like I planned it.
You mean she...
Oh, yeah, without even making a fuss.
Wow, I gotta admit, you must be doing something right.
I felt a vacuum in my life, so I tried a lot of things to fill it. Karate, motorcycling, even vegetarianism. My parents hadn't been too upset when I stopped going to the synagogue. What was really important to my parents was education and a good profession, that is, a doctor or a lawyer. I wanted to make my parents happy, and I also wanted to be secure, so I decided to become an attorney, like my uncle. I majored in accounting at the University of Cincinnati. After graduation, I enrolled in the College of Law there. It was during law school that I added a new twist to my recreational habits.
Man, you've been stoned for 3 days. Are you ever planning on coming down?
Oh, you're a fine one to talk. You're the one that turned me on to pot in the first place.
Yeah, but that's not the point. You're getting high more and more often and staying stoned longer, to say nothing of dropping acid.
Good. Let's say nothing about it.
Hey, is something wrong? I mean, why are you doing this?
Oh, you know, I look around at the world and I see so much pain and so much suffering. It makes me want to do something, but then I look inside myself and see this emptiness. That's one of the reasons I wanted to be a lawyer.
Do you think that'll help?
I don't know, maybe. All I know is that now there's nothing inside me to help anybody else. If I can stay stoned long enough, maybe I won't notice. After graduation from law school, I didn't feel mentally prepared to practice law, so I put it off by applying to graduate programs. When I was accepted at Harvard Law School in Massachusetts, I was thrilled. Here, I'd reached the pinnacle of my dream professionally and educationally. During that year at Harvard, I went back to Cincinnati to visit my friend, John, who'd introduced me to pot. Had some shocking news for me.
Elliot, there's been a big change in my life since the last time I saw you.
Really? What happened?
I've made a commitment to Jesus.
Jesus?
Do you know anything about him?
Oh, sure. When I was a kid, my father told me that Jesus walked on water and that he fed a couple thousand people with a few loaves of bread.
Well, that's true. It tells about those miracles in the New Testament. But did you know that Jesus loves you and that he died for you?
Oh, that sounds crazy, man.
No, it's not. It says in the Bible, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
Uh-huh.
Do you understand what I'm talking about, Elliot?
I'm sorry. I'm a little too stoned to pay much attention.
Don't worry about it. Just remember that I'm praying for you.
I graduated from Harvard, but even with another degree, I still felt empty inside. So I decided to try something different. I boarded a plane for London. Alone, seeking truth, I traveled to Paris, Amsterdam, Hamburg, Denmark, Sweden, and Finland. I had very little in the form of material possessions, but it seemed when I was hungry, someone was there to feed me. When I was cold and needed shelter, a friendly face turned up just in time to solve my problem. I'd always believed in God, but now I realized that he was alive, that he was personally interested in me. One day I went into some woods north of Helsinki, Finland, desperate to find some answers. When I was ready to leave the woods, I found myself hopelessly lost, physically and spiritually.
Oh God, I give up. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm not interested in the things of this world anymore. I just want to serve you.
As I said that, I knew it was true about Jesus, that he died for me. The heaviness in my spirit was replaced with his love and peace. As he led me out of the confusion of the forest, I felt like a new creature. In Oslo, Norway, two young men gave me a New Testament. There, I found confirmation in the words of Saul of Tarsus, a practicing Jew. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I returned to Massachusetts. There I wrote to my parents, told them about my experience, and asked for permission to return home. They were less than enthusiastic and suggested that my going home might upset my father, who was not well. I continued to write to them, and after a month, I decided to leave Massachusetts and visit them in Ohio.
Elliot, what are you doing here? How did you get here?
That's a long story. May I come in?
Well, of course. Oh, son, you look so tired.
I am. I was bicycling down from Harvard. I was about 400 miles into the trip when a tractor trailer hit me.
Oh, you could have been killed. Are you all right?
Yes, thanks be to God. I wasn't hurt, but my bike was totaled. I had to hitchhike the rest of the way.
How long did all of this take you?
7 days.
It's no wonder you're tired.
Dad, I'd like to move back home.
Well, after all you've gone through to get here, I suppose we could make a place for you in the basement.
I thank God for that basement. There I found an Old Testament and learned that it, too, is the Word of God. There's a saying about the Bible. The new is in the old concealed. The old is in the new revealed. That was very important for me to find out. I took a position with a law firm in Cincinnati. A new secretary named Joyce was hired to help me in my work. I didn't know it at the time, but that meeting was to change the course of both our lives.
In a moment, we'll meet Joyce and see what brought her to that particular place at that particular time. But now, here's Superintendent Harry Saulnier at Pacific Garden Mission. Harry, what gave you the idea of having some of the Unshackled stories rewritten in short story form and then having them printed in individual booklets?
We were receiving a considerable number of requests for the radio scripts. For a time, we honored those requests, but it wasn't a very satisfactory arrangement.
No, it certainly wasn't. For one thing, there was the problem of duplication. Then there was the matter of bulk. Some 22 pages on letterhead-sized sheets of rather heavy paper. And, of course, a radio script is intended for the ear, not the eye, and makes somewhat confusing reading.
We overcame that last problem when I asked you to rewrite a representative selection of the scripts in short story form. We had those printed as pocket-sized booklets, which solved the problems of bulk and duplication.
And then we began offering the booklets as a gift to those who wrote and asked for them. These days, the standard gift offer is a packet of 3 booklets. Response is consistently heavy.
At the end of each booklet is a clear statement of God's plan of salvation. There's an evangelistic message in each story, and the statement at the end makes it doubly clear.
There's also a space in which the reader, having received Christ, may write in the date and his or her signature, a record and reminder of a life-changing decision.
The gift offer remains in force. We're still sending a packet of 3 of the booklets on request. Experience has shown that the booklets can be used very effectively in personal evangelism.
If you'd like to receive a packet of 3 of the Unshackled short story booklets, our gift to you, address Unshackled, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Ask for the short story booklets. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605.
I was born in New York in an upper-middle-class Jewish community. Even though my parents were agnostics, they wanted my brother and me to have a Jewish identity. When I was 5, I started going to Sunday school and a Hebrew school. For 8 years, I went to the synagogue. As a child, I was greatly impressed by the very real presence of God in the sanctuary. But I wondered where God went after the service. At the age of 13, I left the synagogue. For a while, I did what many teenagers do. I went to lots of parties and dances. But by the time I was 15, I started to take a look around me. I tried to share some of what I felt with my father.
So what made you decide to be a junior nurse's aide?
I don't know if I can explain it, Dad.
Try. I'm listening.
Well, we have so much. I mean, you know, we not only have everything we need, we have everything we want.
And we're very fortunate.
Yeah, but Dad, there are people, like in the city, that are hungry. People are starving to death. There are people who don't even have a place to live. It's not right.
And volunteering at the hospital?
It's a way I can try to do something to help people in pain, people who have needs. I felt so guilty over having so much. I worked at the hospital for a year before I decided it wasn't enough. I couldn't help the way I wanted to, and I left feeling personally inadequate. My next volunteer job was as a tutor in Harlem. For a while, I was excited, thinking that I was making a difference in someone's life. But then I started to feel that all I was doing was easing my own guilt. And that's when I decided I needed a philosophy. The peace movement was just getting underway then. I became active, going to peace rallies and marches in New York City.
Where have you been, Joyce? I was a little worried.
I was at a peace rally.
Another one?
Yes, another one.
You're spending an awful lot of time with all this peace stuff. Don't you have any more important things to do?
Dad, can't you understand? Ending this war is important.
You think you'll do that by holding these rallies and marches?
Dad, peace is important. When we join together, we have power. This is the way we can show our strength. It shows that we mean it when we say that we want peace in the world. I finally found something I can do that means something. I was active in the movement until I went away to college. At the University of Cincinnati, I found a new niche in an organization called Students for a Democratic Society.
Okay, let me put it another way.
Okay.
There's only one way to change society.
All right, and that is?
Revolution. Marx and Lenin showed that. Only after the revolution will America be rid of the hypocrisy and injustice that corrupts life here.
Well, yeah, but, you know, what will happen then?
Well, then we'll be able to form the perfect society with a new man. There will be justice and equality because people will have the capacity for pure love.
That's exactly what I've been searching for. You know, a way to change into a better, fuller human being. And a way to help others to do the same.
You'll join us then.
As of right this very minute.
Comrade.
Comrade. I worked with the SDS all through my freshman year. Needless to say, my studies suffered quite a bit. But I didn't care because the revolution was my priority. In March that year, I helped to organize a demonstration. It was held in front of the federal building with a doctor and an attorney speaking. I was arrested. The trial began in May. My father flew out from New York to be with me. Even though I hardly even said hello, he came to the proceedings every day of the 4 weeks I was on trial. At the end of that time, a verdict was reached.
You have been found guilty, and I hereby sentence you to 30 days. Court dismissed.
I turned around and looked at my father, as if for the first time. Suddenly, he looked like an old man with the burden of the world on his shoulders. Oh, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Joyce. No matter what, I'll always love you.
At that moment, I realized, while I was out searching for love, trying to love others, my father had loved me unselfishly, and I failed to return that love. I felt wretched. Because my father chose to appeal the court verdict, I didn't have to go to jail. Instead, I went home to New York with my father. I did a lot of thinking there, especially about my trial and my comrades from SDS. I was struck by the difference between their attitudes and that of my father. They gave me no support at all. They were only looking out for themselves. My father, on the other hand, had made it clear he would stick with me no matter what.
You've been very quiet since we got back.
Oh, I've been thinking, you know, trying to sort out what I believe.
Have you come to any conclusions?
Only two.
Would you care to share them?
Well, first, I know that my basic premise is right. The love that exists between individuals isn't complete. There's got to be some way to make things better.
What's the other conclusion?
That communism isn't the answer.
Ah. You really believed that it was, didn't you?
Yeah. It's hard to believe in something, to stand on it firmly, and then have it pulled right out from underneath you. I got a job in the city working for a church organization. I put the pension plan for 6,000 ministers onto computer sheets. It was a pretty boring job, but at the same time an eye-opener for me. I never knew there were so many ministers. I didn't even realize there were so many non-Jewish people. I shared some of what I learned with my parents.
Did you hear any crazy new stories today?
As a matter of fact, I did. We got a letter from a minister whose wife and daughter were killed in a car wreck. And he was praising God.
Now that is crazy. What was he praising God for?
Because God is in control, and his wife and child are with the Lord.
What imagination.
I still didn't believe in God. but I saw that God or religion seemed to be meeting a need in the lives of these people. It made me more aware of the void in my own life, needing to be filled. After 8 months of working, I quit my job and returned to Cincinnati. I couldn't explain it to anyone, but I knew I had to go back to the city of my arrest. I got a job there and within a week was promoted to receptionist secretary. My boss was a young attorney named Elliot Clayman. Within 3 weeks, our working relationship began to develop into a close friendship. One thing disturbed me, though.
And that's when I realized that Jesus is the Messiah. He gave his life so that I could live and have fellowship with God.
You can't be serious.
There's nothing I'm more serious about. We're separated from God by sin. The prophet Isaiah says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." The him Isaiah is talking about is Jesus, or Yeshua.
Yeshua?
Jesus is Greek for Yeshua, which is Hebrew. The whole Old Testament is full of prophecies about and references to the Messiah. The New Testament shows that Jesus is that Messiah.
And you think that he was sent from God?
I know it. God sent him to bring us life. Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And in another place, he says, "If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me."
Elliot, I was born an atheist, brought up an atheist, and I will always be an atheist. Although I tried to reject what Elliot was saying, my curiosity was aroused. I found myself defending his kind of ideas to my friends.
I am so mad, I could scream.
What's wrong?
Someone stopped me on the street and handed me a pamphlet.
Ugh, that's awful. There ought to be a law against it.
There should be a law against that kind of trash.
Oh, come on. It couldn't be that bad. Let's see it.
You don't think I kept it, do you?
Then calm down and tell me what was in it.
It was talk about Yeshua being the Jewish Messiah. Do you know who Yeshua is?
Jesus.
Right. Jesus. That man. What does he have to do with the Jews?
He was a Jew. All of his apostles were Jews. In fact, most of the first century church was Jewish.
That might have been true. But after all that's happened, things are very different now.
Some people don't think so. They think that believing in Jesus makes them complete Jews.
Don't tell me you're one of them.
No, of course not.
Of course not? You should listen to yourself.
Look it, I'm not one of them. I just think you should try to understand where they're coming from.
I understand, all right. And I think you had better watch it, or you'll be coming from the same place they are.
That shook me up. Then I found myself praying for friends who needed immediate help. That was frightening in itself. But even worse was when those prayers were answered. I found myself actually asking God, who I hadn't believed in, if Jesus was really his son. One night, after praying for a short time, I opened up a Bible and happened to turn to Psalm 22. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like water. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They pierced my hands and my feet. Oh, Yeshua, you are the Messiah and my Savior. I surrender my life to you.
Joyce made that decision about 6 months after we met. Eventually, we were married, and we now have two children, a son and a daughter, Baruch Hashem, blessed be his name. God has made us part of his family. We continue to worship and serve him, for we are not ashamed of the gospel of the Messiah. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile.
The love that I once looked for so desperately now fills my entire being. That love comes from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The compassion I once had for humanity is now a true love, one that would see each person come to know Jesus the Messiah as their personal Savior and Lord of their lives. Jesus has indeed granted me the desires of my heart. He has shown me the path of life, and I have discovered that in his presence is fullness of joy.
Within a year after Elliot's conversion, his brother came to know the Lord. And their father, who had a heart condition, accepted Jesus as his Savior several years before his death. Are you aware of a void, an emptiness in your life that seems unfillable? Are you searching for love but never satisfied? The God that brought fulfillment and love into the Claymans' lives is waiting to do the same for you. To counsel with someone who's concerned about you, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. If you listen in the United Kingdom or on the continent of Europe, you may address Unshackled, care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. Take a moment to write and tell us you listen, and do ask others to listen too. You might also write to the manager of this radio station and say thank you for Unshackled. Heard in the true story of Joyce and Elliot Clayman were Betsy Means, Margie Webb, Art Fox, Tony Marcus Jr., Bob O'Donnell, and Russ Reed. Original music, Lucille Becker. Sound, Nicoloisio. The script was written by Marjorie Webb as she received the story from the Claymans. This is Jack O'Dell. Unshackled's produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write to us this week. Your letter matters. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. If you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Someone who cares is waiting for your call. Area 312-922-1462.